Welcome to Faith Working by Love, a podcast of Emmanuel Sovereign Grace Fellowship. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Hebrews 5:8. This has always been a challenging verse for me. It seems like an impossibility that the Son of God would have anything to learn. He's God. How can he learn? But then John Owen helped me understand something wonderful about the Incarnation. He wrote, "One special kind of obedience is intended here, namely a submission to great, hard, and terrible things, accompanied by patience and quiet endurance, and faith for deliverance from them. This Christ could not have experience of except by suffering the things he had to pass through, exercising God's grace in them all." In other words, Jesus would have known what obedience would involve theoretically, but he would not have known it experientially had he not become a man and lived the life he did leading up to the cross. He learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. What a wonderful Savior we have! God didn't sit in heaven dispensing mercy and judgment from on high. He came down. He walked this earth as a man, and he experienced what it meant to offer up obedience in the fires of suffering and temptation. He experienced without sin what we experience. What a glorious Savior we have. But there's a practical lesson in this verse that's often overlooked. When people hear that Jesus learned obedience, they tend to think this means he tried and failed and tried and failed until he finally learned to obey. But as Christians, we know that Jesus never sinned, so therefore his learning obedience couldn't be something he accomplished through trial and error. Jesus can be said to have learned obedience because Jesus was obedient. In our lives, we know that we can only say we learned something when we finally learned it. Sounds obvious, right? Let's take something silly like learning to rollerblade. I actually got it into my head at 30 years old that I needed to learn how to rollerblade. I don't know where this idea came from, but I set out to learn how. I failed many times. Muscle memory isn't developed overnight, but I did in fact eventually learn. Now, if I had quit along the way, I would have tried to learn, but I would not be able to say that I did learn. I can only say I learned to rollerblade because I actually did it, and not because I just tried to do it. Now, when the Bible says Jesus learned obedience, it isn't saying that he tried and failed until he got it right. It's saying that he actually was obedient in an experiential way. In the midst of temptation and trial and suffering, he, through patience and quiet endurance by faith, was obedient. This is what it means to have learned obedience, and that means the very same thing for us. So often as Christians, we start down the path of obedience only to abort the whole effort when things get tough. For many, this is nothing but a vicious cycle, like the person who resolves to quit smoking. Everything's going great for about a day or two, and then suddenly, almost out of nowhere, the urge to smoke comes upon them. Between that moment and the moment of guilt that comes immediately after failure, they go from being a former smoker back to being a smoker. Now, they might have learned some things through this experience, but they can't be said to have learned to stop smoking. That hasn't happened yet. Only when they learn to deal with the temptation and the urge to smoke, and to find their way through them without returning to the cigarettes, can they be said to have learned not to smoke. Learning obedience requires just that. Obedience in the times and moments when failure is at the door begging to be let in. It's learning to rely on God's grace and seek his help. It's learning to accept the pain and press on through to the other side where temptation is the one who failed. When this happens, you are learning obedience. Now, we all fail. There's no perfect person. But we need to come to grips with the fact that failure after failure is not the same thing as learning obedience. To learn obedience, we must break the cycle. We must make disobedience the victim. and not us. Now, failure may very likely be on our path to learning obedience, but this is because we're sinners, and the path to learning obedience isn't easy. But many people, when they face temptation or difficulty in the path of obedience, they usually make it varying degrees down the pathway, only to fail before they can be said to have learned obedience. They become victims to the sin that so easily besets them, Hebrews 12:1. As a result of this cycle of giving into temptation, of trial and error after trial and error, they never press through the difficult things to find out what's on the other side. Oh, that takes faith, and it won't be easy. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and see exactly what learning obedience looks like. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This verse is loaded with encouragement. First of all, no temptation in your life is unique to you. It's common to mankind. You're not alone in what you're facing. Others are facing it too. This doesn't mean that every Christian faces the same temptations, but it does mean that whatever temptation you're facing, other believers face exactly the same thing, and all believers face something of the same kind. Much of temptation's power is found in isolating you and making you feel that you're alone in what you must endure. The truth is, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You are also not alone because God is there. And this is where faith comes in. God is faithful to not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, beyond your ability to endure it, all the way through until the way of escape that he will always provide is there. God is in the situation. He's regulating the temptation. It will never be greater than you can bear. The fact that you may never have resisted it through to the end only means that you haven't experienced what it means to learn obedience in this area. And therefore, you don't realize that in every temptation, you are able to endure and obey. You're not a victim to something that's beyond your ability. God will not allow that to be true. Faith grabs hold of this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 and waits on the Lord to bring the way of escape. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, Psalm 33:20. So that means, if you give into the temptation, you've always done so just before you reach the way of escape, the way that God will always provide if you endure in obedience. It was coming. Always, without fail, the way of escape was coming. Enduring until God gets you through to the other side is what learning obedience is all about. And that enduring requires believing, knowing, trusting that the way to stand up under the temptation is coming, and it most certainly will arrive precisely when God intends it to, not a moment sooner and never a moment too late. You must believe that God is going to bring the way of escape. Sometimes this can be a long time. Sometimes it can be a painfully long time. But finding out what lies on the other side of obedience is only possible when you see it through to the end. Now, there are many things you can do that will help make this enduring easier. But none of these things are magical ways to make it simple and painless. I searched for years, trying to find the insight, the book, the verse, the sermon that would make it all easy. It doesn't exist. The path to learning obedience is hard, and it requires a firm commitment to see it through even when the going gets tough. Using the means of grace, for example, reading God's word and prayer and fellowship with the saints, are all provided by God to help us in the battle. They don't make enduring easy. They don't magically make temptation flee, but they're there to help you stand up under it. We need to use these means regularly. This is why the author of Hebrews said that we should exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3:13. But in the end, we must resolve to persevere in faith against temptation, come what may, until God brings our deliverance. Failure may indeed happen, but failure should not be what we expect, and certainly not what we accept. Learning obedience is the path that we're to tread upon until the Lord brings us home with Him. Learning obedience glorifies God. Learning obedience is to become the normal of our lives. Victimization by temptation is a cycle that's to be broken. Let's close with one more passage. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2:1-3. John expects that the children of God will be obedient. He's writing to give them aid in their battle against sin and temptation. He writes so that they would not sin. But he knows that they will sin. Not a single believer is without sin. The battle will go on for the rest of our lives. He knows this. And there will come times when we fail to believe and wait upon the Lord, times when we don't obey. In these times, he gives great encouragement. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, our righteousness, our only righteousness before the Father, and He is the propitiation of our sins. He died for us and has taken away our guilt. That failure to obey has been paid for. But this isn't cheap grace. The fact that Jesus is our only righteousness and that the blood of Jesus has paid for all our sins, past, present, and future, doesn't cause us to treat obedience like it's a sunroof on a new car. We can add it if we want to pay for it, but we can choose not to and still buy the car without it. Look at what John says next. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Let's put that another way. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we learn obedience. The encouragement of forgiveness is there when we fail. We rest not in our obedience, but in the obedience of Christ. But this encouragement is not there for those who think to use it in a way to avoid obedience. Rather, it's there for those on the difficult and often dangerous path of learning obedience. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Faith, Working by Love.